Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCenter.com.
I did call earlier when using the phone.
Earlier, when was that?
Later when then I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2495678.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Don't. Not here. Not now.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCentPete.com. My name is Will Coons. Phone text line is open. It's always open. 813-693-2124. You can always find me at HMBRadio.com. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there, too, on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Radio St. Pete. That's Radio STPETE. I'm on Instagram and Twitter as home_made_man. How are you, folks? Are you well? Oh, I'm fine. Super good, as a matter of fact. We got Sebastian Coolidge coming in here very shortly. Great guy. He was one of my, when I first started this podcast years ago now, it was me and Adam. And Adam was a good friend of mine. And we kind of started just kind of chit-chatting. Adam's hilarious. I'm pretty funny, too. So us together is a riot, obviously, but Adam had a baby, so he's no longer able to do this on a regular basis. So I started to interview folks, and one of the first people I had in as an interview was Sebastian Coolidge. Sebastian is a muralist, he's a clothing designer, he's an amateur photographer, he's got his hands in a lot of honeypots. And I swear I told him this off air, and I don't mean to blow smoke up his butt, and I'm not, it's the truth, but he was one of the ones that kind of inspired me to, you know, I wanted to do radio, and now I do radio on Stay Woke, 102.5 The Bone, Monday through Friday at midnight. So listen at theboneonline.com, make sure you get the app. Now I do radio, and I do this podcast, where I still talk to creatives living and working in Tampa Bay, and I like his story, because he came from Kansas City. I don't know if it's Kansas or Missouri. It's not really important, though. But he came here, and he was doing his art thing. And this was before... I mean, now St. Pete is known for these murals, you know? And at the time, I don't know when this was, but years ago now, over 5 years ago, he wanted to paint a mural. He likes working large. So he asked the Fresh Squeezed... which is now defunct. It's now the bar of Engine Number 9 now. But he asked them if he could paint, at his own expense, a mural on the wall there. And they said, okay, yeah, I guess so, sure. So he brought his paint, and he painted the mural. And that ended up, you know, people saw it. I think the Benz was the next one. He painted the hand on the Benz over there on First Avenue North. But people saw it and go, oh, that's cool. I want that for my business. And now that's just his job. That's what he does. I mean, it's stuff that he does anyway. Now he gets paid money to do it. He was just at the Reggae Rise Up Festival painting there. He said he sold his piece. He got paid to do the piece from Reggae Rise Up and actually sold it. So that was all extra. It's just a cool story, man. I love that, that, you know, it's just somebody willing to ask. And that's really all it takes. It doesn't seem to be that difficult. But for some reason, people were either afraid of hearing no or, I mean, I understand it's a big risk putting yourself out there. I get crapped on all the time by people. it's just part of the deal, you know. But, you know, you roll with the punches, you deal with it. And now he's, you know, making a living and supporting his family by doing what he loves. It's an awesome story. And, you know, he's been an inspiration to me, too, to just go for it. Ask for stuff. Don't be afraid to ask for stuff. My dad always says, you know, you might get a no. You always have no, but you might get a yes. So unsolicited advice for you there. So we're going to get to that interview with Sebastian. Good hang. Good dude. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsors here. Tap House 61. Yes, that's right. TapHouse61.com. They're located at 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. Check out their Wednesday night trivia. Best trivia night in town. Just John does that. He always is very entertaining. And they have gift cards that they give away if you win. So you can potentially just booze for free on a Wednesday night. Sounds fun as hell. I wish I could do it. And I will. One of these days. But check them out. Tap House 61 on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Tap House and the number 6 and the number 1. It's easy as that. And Truvy Salon and Spa. Oh, Truvy. That's T-R-U-V as in victory. Y, salon and spa.com. I should just do Truvy Salon though, Chris. I don't know what you're doing. But Truvy Salon and spa.com. You can book an appointment. I just got an email from her saying the Botox lady's coming. So if you want to get poison injected in your face, this would be the time to do it. This lady knows what she's doing. She's certified. She's whatever. I don't know. Who do you have to go to get certified to inject chemicals into people's, to rich ladies' faces? I don't know. But that lady's coming, and you want to, you know, smooth your complexion and, you know, feel good about yourself and, you know, spend your husband's money. Why not? You deserve it. So book your appointment at Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. They're located right here in St. Petersburg, so it's a good time. 813-693-2124 is a text and voice line here. You can leave a voicemail or a text message anytime you want. That's right, 24/7, even on Christmas. I will not be there to answer, but I will be there to check the voicemail the next day and either laugh or cry at your expense. So make sure you check it out, HMB Radio. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you know what's going on. And I've been putting up blogs with the podcast as well, so check out the website, facebook.com/HMB Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, home_made_man. Don't forget, 102.5 The Bone, weeknights, Monday through Friday. Stay woke with Anna Hummel and myself. I'm her co-host, her number two. What's under general? I don't know army stuff. So lieutenant, that sounds good to me. Let's do that. Commander, that's Star Trek. That's not right. But anyway, check it out. And if you go to bed at a reasonable hour, which I'm sure many of you do, you can download the app, the 102.5 The Bone app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Full replay is there right for you. So enjoy. Thank you. I love you. Let's talk to Sebastian Coolidge. Homemade broadcast here on RadioSt.Pete.com. Let me start by asking you a question.
Okay.
Here, pull that mic right up to your face there.
Okay.
Perfect.
I'm here.
Would you rather get walked in on going poo?
Okay.
Or walk in on somebody going poo?
Walked in on going poo, get walked in on. I think get walked in on.
Get walked in on?
Yes.
Why? Your rationale?
Because it's not really my embarrassment at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking at it like if I walk in to someone pooing, like all the embarrassment is like rushing over me. They're just pooing. I want to be the person just pooing, soaking it in.
I think I agree with you.
Okay.
Because I had an experience today. I just in this new place, you know, I've been here about a month now.
Right.
And there's that, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a window.
Right, right.
And I have upstairs neighbors. The staircase goes right along that window.
I see that.
Upstairs. And I was pooing today, and I had the window wide open. And
I was going to say, the window's wide open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you...
I mean, I didn't know, because with my eye level, I'm looking and I'm like, I don't think they could see in. I don't think they could see me pooing, sitting down.
Right.
But then I heard the door open and I heard people walking down the stairs. And I said, well, I'm going to test this theory right now.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, they could 100% see me.
How'd
if
you
they
know?
Were looking. Because I saw their eyes. And if they saw my eyes, I mean, it was perfect, actually, eye level wise.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's all I saw.
Okay.
Was their eyes. Luckily, they kept it straightforward and didn't look.
They didn't look.
Okay. But I was just nude, sitting on the toilet.
Right.
Just, like, grimacing, hoping that they wouldn't look in. Could you imagine making eye contact with a grimacing, chubby man?
Oh, God, that's... Oh, that might end the day before it gets started.
I was definitely mortified. Luckily,
yeah.
At least I know now, and now I know I need to shut that window every
right.
time. But have you ever had an embarrassing poo story?
Well,
speaking of?
You know what? Before I get into my embarrassing poo story, I did want to say when I walked up, I did notice. I was like, well, I could look in that one window right there, and I
yep.
didn't. But now knowing that from a distance walking up, the main window people would look into is your bathroom window.
Yes.
And you got it wide open.
It's wide open.
It's gaping.
In more ways than one. Absolutely. I like to live on the edge. You know, I like having a window in the bathroom,
right.
obviously, to air it out.
Oh, that feels great.
Yeah.
Fresh little
you get
breeze
the fresh
coming
breeze,
in.
Nice
yes.
cool breeze. You know, I'm sitting there, you know, farting.
Yeah.
Or whatever else I'm doing in there.
Yeah.
It's nice to get some fresh air to cycle through.
Right,
but
right.
now I know I'm going to have to sacrifice some of that, my security for my safety. But so have you ever had any embarrassing poo stories?
Embarrassing poo stories.
Did you have to go really bad and go in an unfortunate area?
God, so many times.
That's good. You consider yourself lucky if you can't think of one. Because I have at least 10.
I don't have any that embarrassing. I mean, I've just had to like... poo certain places, or yeah, maybe like out in the woods or nothing.
I have an emergency at least twice a year.
Yeah.
Where something almost bad happens where I'm like, I'm gonna poop my pants this time. Luckily, it hasn't happened since probably I was a teenager last time I pooed my pants.
Wow.
But it's been close, and I know it's bound
you
to happen.
You did poo
at some
your
point.
Pants.
It, I think it was a teenager the last time
have
I
you touched on
my
this
pants.
Story before?
I think so.
Give me a quick version of it. What do you mean you pooped your pants?
So, you're familiar with the shart, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard of the shart.
So, it was basically a scenario where I thought...
You fart and poop comes out of your butthole.
A little bit of poop
You
came
think
out.
It's just a fart, but it's
thought
also...
it was just a fart.
You thought it was just a fart, all good and honest.
Right.
Swear to God, you thought it was just a fart.
And the first clue was that this fart didn't smell like a fart. It smelled like poo. It smelled like somebody took a poo
in the middle
of the floor.
It's got that extra deep...
Yes.
Pungent.
It had, yes. And I said, uh-oh. And then I kind of tightened up my butt cheeks a little bit, and there was some moisture in there. And I went, oh, boy. And then sure enough, I had to go check. And, yeah, there's poopy there. So,
oh, my God.
And I was probably...
Where were you?
18. I think it... Where was I?
Set the
I might have
for
been
me.
At home, luckily,
I want a
when
picture
this happened. I think I was just at home. Thank God.
Give me a scenery. I want to feel like where you were.
I think I was living at my parents' house at the time, my mom's house, and I was just, you know, in my room and probably watching Sports Center, I'm assuming, playing on the computer.
All right.
And I just said, this is dangerous, but I'm going to go ahead and try it out.
Wow.
And it backfired on me, but it's a lesson learned. If you're ever unsure, you should just wait.
Play it safe.
Play it safe.
Okay.
Especially when you're out in public.
Wow. And see, that's the thing, is you're just chilling at home.
Yeah.
This wasn't really that embarrassing.
Right.
Nobody
knew. It could have been a lot worse. Right.
You didn't go tell your parents, did you?
No.
You didn't go tell them?
I think I probably may have, just because I got the joy out of it after the cleanup was done and everything.
Right.
I'm like, people are going to want to hear this story. It's
you did
good.
Get joy out of it.
It's funny in retrospect.
You
it
like
wasn't
it.
Funny at the
you
time. I didn't enjoy pooing my pants.
Right.
But the aftermath of how hilarious it is that that happened is worth telling people about,
because
they're going to want to hear it.
Yeah. I do remember my first shard. Shard. Shard.
Shard. Yeah.
Shard.
With a T.
Shard.
Uh-huh.
It's not a shard. It's a shard.
It's past tense with a D.
Was actually, I was at my grandma's house. I was on her couch. I just did this thing where I... went to the edge of the couch on the side backwards and rolled backwards onto the couch.
Right.
Butts in the air.
Yep.
At this point.
You're at the mercy
up.
Of gravity.
My little brother's coming up. I tried to do that squeeze out of fart that wasn't really there. I'm going to make one up out of thin air to fuck with him.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like my butt hole spit. And I was like, was that feeling? I never even felt that before. And I was like, oh my God, it's like it burped up, like it spit up.
That's, so what did you do? What was on your mind at that point? Did you know what happened? Or were you hoping that that's not what happened?
I didn't know. It was so new to me. I knew something happened.
How old were you at this point?
You know what? I was probably like 14.
Okay.
Young.
So you were like, so you were old enough to know. You know, you were hoping it wasn't, but...
Well, enough to know. and that's the thing was... it wasn't that bad, though, because it was at my grandma's house. That's one of those things where it's like, whatever.
Yeah, grandma poos her pants all the time.
Yeah,
whatever happens, what can you do?
She shakes stuff off like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's no big deal. She's not going to make fun of me.
Sure.
It's whatever. And then, so, I mean, that was it.
You can, like, bond over that. Sebastian Coolidge is here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. You were one of the first guests that I had at my old place.
Yes.
So you skipped the last move, and now you're back at the new place, place number 3.
Oh, I didn't know there was a middle place.
There was a middle place.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was catty corner pretty much to my old place, right across the street from Black Crow.
Oh, shit.
But so you were one of the first people I had that when I started interviewing people around St. Pete, and your mom was there, and I remember it being a super fun time.
Yeah.
So I know a lot has been going on since then. I mean, I've always followed you on Instagram and kept up with you. But what's going on? how are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. It's great to
that
be
you're
back.
Here.
Do you still have the old episode?
It's got to be somewhere, yeah.
Isn't it like a database?
I think it's definitely probably on YouTube.
It's on YouTube?
For sure.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
I had deleted my Spreaker account actually recently. That's an old platform I used to use. But it's got to be somewhere.
Wow.
In the ether somewhere.
Wow.
You know what I found out recently, though, is that iTunes, or not iTunes, but your RSS feed can only go back so far. So those episodes, when you get down to a certain point, they're just gone, which I didn't know that. But I always upload to YouTube, so they should be there permanently. I don't think YouTube's going anywhere. I don't think.
Are you sure about that? Because, I mean, on the podcast app on the iPhone.
Yeah.
There's multiple podcasts that go back like 1,000 podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's a lot, but after a certain number, they just kind of, I guess they disappear. They must be somewhere. I can't imagine.
Right.
Nothing on the internet goes away.
It's all there.
It's just hidden somewhere
it's
else.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah,
sure.
Archived somewhere in the logs.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, anyway, it's great. I've been doing a bunch of stuff since we talked, what was that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
At least 2 years ago, probably closer to three.
Maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, I probably at least had one baby.
You had the one. Yes, your baby was a baby at that point.
That was a baby.
That was pretty fresh.
That was my first baby.
Yep.
I had another baby.
Another baby.
So I have two babies.
Holy moly. A boy or a girl?
A girl.
You got two girls now.
Two girls.
Oh, that sucks.
So, I don't know, does it? It kind of does, but it really doesn't.
No, that's my
I'm not
favorite
worried.
Thing. I would say if you said you had two boys, I'd probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's my favorite thing to say. Oh, I just had a girl. Ooh, that sucks.
Ooh,
yeah. Go, what the hell?
No,
you
know,
I'm just
that.
Kidding, obviously, but it's always a fun thing to say.
Yeah, so I got Lilibel, and Rosemary is the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not,
how new?
She's not new anymore. She's two. She's
oh
going
to
be three in September.
So oh, my Lord.
They're going to be
yeah, it's been
three
a long
and four
they're
this
like
year.
Real people at this point, then.
These are little people.
Yeah.
So,
human beings that you can talk to and they'll
right.
answer you back.
Oh,
and
my
stuff
God.
Like that.
Conversations.
It's amazing.
Big words.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest word they say?
The one Lilibel's stuck on right now is magnificent.
Oh, that's a good one.
She's stuck on it. Yeah, isn't that great?
That's magnificent.
It's like magnificent.
That must be the cutest thing in the world.
She's like, it's magnificent. Or something like that. It's great. No, it's amazing to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So you, one of the things I noticed you did was obviously you're doing the murals and the paintings and all that, but you started a clothing company. When did that
right.
come about?
So the clothing company actually originally came about when I was talking to you. It was before we had even talked the first time. I had all that stuff kind of laid out. It wasn't made yet.
It was an idea at that point.
It was an idea. It was a sketch. But that is the beauty of the sketches is that stuff comes out of the sketchbook. It's
right.
crazy. It's like it might not come straight from my mind into real life. You know what I mean? But if I get it in the sketchbook, it will like pop up in reality. So like that's what I try to do is just get everything drawn up at least, you know, and then made.
Right.
Which I guess is the only real process you can do. But as long as I get it down, I feel like it'll at least get made. So anyway, I drew that stuff before I knew about that. About 5 years ago, I was living in Tampa. And the only problem was, you know, like, I mean, those are very detailed button-ups that I didn't know how to make. I just felt it was going to be so crazy to attain that level of skill with sewing. It was just going to take me so long.
Like,
I would need to go to school for it.
Right, so you didn't have any, you know, you didn't sew before anything. You were just kind of...
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so, I mean, I was just... I mean, I had very minimal, simple sewing.
Right.
So... You know, and this is when I was also just really starting off my whole art career was at that point. So it was like my whole mindset was like I need to do murals for money because that's like the easiest money for like my skill right now in painting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like canvas pieces aren't going to get me the money that murals can.
Right.
And I have way more fun painting big,
yeah,
like doing big pieces. So I just didn't know how it just seemed so daunting. I was like, how can I make a living doing these murals and get these out and also learn how to sew this well. I was like, whatever. So I just didn't do it. I mean, I could have. I probably should have just learned how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I probably would have been fine. But anyway, so I waited. Well,
there's only so much time, too,
I know,
in a day, you know.
Right.
And those things, you work on those murals from sunset till I've seen you working at night just with street lamps. Or not street lamps, but the, you know, pull-up lights. What do you call those? You know,
the little
construction
light
things.
Little construction lights and, yeah, little lamps. And
did you start sewing yourself or did you find somebody that was kind of able to help you?
Right. So I had found a few people and they're trash. It wasn't the quality that I needed. So then anyway, about, let's see, maybe about two years ago, I met at the Bloom Collective. I had met a guy that moved in there, Michael Wayne, and he was working for a lot of companies in New York, and he was really good. He was really good. And I was like, man, maybe you should, like, mess with helping me make some of these button-ups. Just kind of toying with me. It's like, oh, yeah, I could do that. You know, you should come through sometime and look at my work or whatever. So I went through. And he had way better quality stuff than I thought he was going to. He had, like, women's clothes that he was his own designs. He was, you know, like, a denim line. And so I showed him the button-ups. He's like, yeah, I could definitely make that stuff. So we just kind of, like, started working together. And he started making this stuff, like, proper. And so I just started hitting him with, like, anything I could think of. And he's still doing stuff now.
Like, so is it – I mean, how do you even start with that? You come up with a sketch –
right.
And then I know you like you make a pattern, right? You transfer that onto some sort of graft board or something, and then you kind of make the cuts.
It'll be like more like a thin tracing paper, like a big, large scale tracing paper, and he has like a big light board.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just send him a sketch on the phone. I'll be like, oh, this. And then he'll like, okay. And basically do like a rough sketch of it on that tracing paper of like where he thinks it looks like it is. Then I actually come in, meet up with him and like redraw like to the shape exactly that I want the shirt to be. So like, you know, I'm like, oh, if it's like a face, I'm like, oh, with the nose like that or whatever, you know, just kind of like refine that. And then he'll make a test fit from that. Just like a basic shirt of like how it would fit. And then I actually wear it or have someone wear it that I want to fit the shirt. And then we'll make adjustments from there. And then he'll make like a nice sample.
I gotcha.
So then I'll have a sample.
So this comes from basically, I mean, it's your work. It's artwork that you can wear, pretty much.
Right.
So, and it is pretty complicated. Is it stuff that people could wear every day?
It'd be a bit of a stretch to wear some of the stuff every day. You'd probably look borderline crazy. To me, it's more like maybe like a dressier.
It's like an art piece.
Event, right.
Yeah. If you're going out to be seen,
right?
Be something you'd
exactly
be. Yeah,
where, like an event, you know, like some type of get together, gathering, you know, thing where you would wear like a black button up shirt, you know,
right?
You wear one of these shirts instead,
yeah.
So you stand out. Maybe you're like you look, maybe like you're way more into art, or you just like cool stuff. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So these, is it just shirts, or have you gotten into any other articles?
So I got into the shirts, designing pants, designing shoes. I've got some backpacks and duffel bags that I've already made, some samples of that I really like that I'm going to run with into production. So I got some of the button-ups in production right now. And then, you know, from there, that's really touching like all the clothing. You know, I also have women's and children's clothing design, but none of it's made yet, but it's all designed.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm like laying it out. And then I want to take at least like have like a solid like core, like more like serious part of each line. Like on the men's, like the first line I did with the button-ups, I'm going to have furniture to match all of that
stuff.
Oh,
okay. Oh, wow. So this is branching out in a bunch of different areas.
Right. So it'll be like, and a lot of people do this already, you know what I mean? It's like, I just want to take it to like maybe another level of, you know, like there's like Fendi and Tom Ford and Burberry. Like they all have like couches that go with their jackets. Like they all have
that. Oh, really?
They all have that. Yeah. Like a lot of brands have that stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yes, I mean, once you're shopping into like crazy fine furniture, you'll see that stuff, which like I didn't even know that till recently. I was like, oh my God, why am I not? Because I already had furniture designs I was trying to do, and I was like, why don't I link it a little bit more to the style of my clothing, you know, and vice versa, and like make these like whole lifestyle collections.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard to, I would imagine it's hard anyways, but I guess at places like the Bloom, you have somebody there. Oh yeah, I do carpentry. I can make this. And then you got somebody who's an upholstery person that can upholster it for you. So is that what you found? You just kind of work and, what do you call that? Kind of barter or something to pay each other?
Or yeah, or I'll just straight pay people. Like Mike, I pay him. Like, you know, that's why I do the mural jobs and like other like sell canvas, I do commissions, like all that type of stuff to be funding this other stuff. But I do like to link with specialists specifically. Like I don't want to just blindly, like the same with the shirts. I want everything to be done very properly.
Right.
From like the eyes of someone that's a legitimate professional in that field.
How do you even know like where to look for these people? Is it just social media and Instagram? You hashtag about. And then you and then you get introduced to people.
Right.
Or whatever?
They just come about, you know, cause I kind of put the wave out there that I like need that. And then, you know, people will kind of like, oh, I saw this person, you know, it'll kind of like connect back. Yeah, eventually.
That's what I found is I'm always worried I'm going to run out of people to talk to. But there's so many people doing stuff.
So many, yeah.
And then, you know, people will come in, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. Okay, yeah, send them my way. Shoot me an email. And then I've been doing this for 3-4 years now. It's probably closer to 4 or 5 years. And I still haven't ran out of people. I've doubled up a few times. And maybe now it's a little bit harder to keep up with that. I got the radio show now and stuff. But, you know, it's kind of good. I like doing the shows by myself now because it kind of gives me experience to just be on mic by myself, which is, dude, it's tough.
Yeah.
I like having somebody to bounce off of because if I'm just talking, you get sick of hearing your own voice.
Right.
And it's just droning on and on. I don't know how people listen to it, honestly. Right. Some people do, and God bless you for doing that. 813-693-2124 is a number. Sebastian Coolidge is here. He's a muralist, a designer. What else are you getting into? Photography? You done any of that?
Oh, you know what I do on my, just totally playfully, on like my Instagram story.
Okay.
I got like a macro lens for my phone.
There's some National Geographic where
you've seen
stuff
this
in there.
Yeah, I have fun with that. Man.
I was wondering how you were doing that. Because I was like, are you just getting super close to these bugs?
What I am. Some of them I am. Some of it's just an iPhone quality. It's so good.
It's amazing, how quality. Is that the iPhone 10 there?
No. This is just a,
7. Oh, my goodness, 7. Yeah, it looks good.
It's a regular old 7.
Yeah. I think that's what I got, too, honestly. I don't know. They get a new one every, you know, 2 weeks now. So
I know, right?
And they're $1,000. I went to go look at mine because I want to get a new phone. You know, it's time. It's been over a year now.
What'd you get?
I got the same phone because I went in there because I'm doing the payment plan. You know, they include it in your bill.
Yeah.
So I said, how much do I have left to pay on this phone? And he goes, hold on. And he looks it up, $550. Oh, gosh. Are you serious? I've been paying on this phone for like a year and a half almost.
Right.
Still $500. That's how they get you, though, man.
Slowly. Yeah, dude, but you know what? It's a lease.
I know.
Tone. It's Lee's tone.
Oh, my. Everything's like this, too. At work, we have this, at my day job, a printer, and we're paying like $250. I do the bills there. So we're paying $250 a month for this machine, for just a machine that makes copies and scans. And I'm thinking, this is way too much for this thing. So I look up how much the machine costs. I think it's $3,000. It's a lot of money,
yeah.
But, you know, $3,000. So I look at our contract, our lease. It's something ridiculous. I forget how much it was. 56 months or something like that, 63 months. And it's $200-something a month. The grand total for us to lease this machine, $22,000.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Oh, and I was just unreal.
The interest rate, is that what that is?
It's just because what is you're that? Leasing it. So you have people on call that will come fix the machine. The machine doesn't break. We print from it and scanned. That's all it does. It doesn't really break ever.
So you're paying for like this roadside assistance kind of
basically.
Thing with it. Right.
But it's like, oh my God, we could have just bought this machine straight up and saved $18,000. I mean, that's a car.
Holy
that's a nice
hell.
Car.
Holy
too,
hell. Right.
For this thing.
Especially if you're leasing it. You put $18,000 down, you can get a
oh, yeah.
Like a G-Wagon or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's crazy,
but
man.
But straight
it's
up, buying a car, it'd still be a nice car. $18,000,
yeah.
It'd
be better than what I have now, that's for
holy
sure.
Hell.
Yeah. Sebastian Coolidge is here this week. So you've been doing amateur photography. You've been doing
very
the clothing
amateur.
Line.
Decent, though. Amateur, but okay.
I think it's, yeah. I like it. I enjoy it a
thank
lot.
You. Do you honestly?
I do.
Deadass serious.
For real.
You look 100%. At it. Do you rewatch it?
Occasionally.
Sometimes?
Sometimes.
Wow.
Although with the Instagram, I end up just clicking through most of that stuff. It's hard not to.
Just keep start tapping. You get on a roll. Now you're not looking at anything.
I feel like I'm not paying attention to anybody. I don't follow that many people, but the ones I do, I'm like, I can't keep up. 300 people is too much. To
right.
see, and then the filters or the algorithms are filtering out a lot of that stuff.
Ads.
I feel like I'm not giving these people my attention that I should, that
right,
I like.
Right, right, right.
It gets hard to keep up with. What have you been doing to kind of market yourself on the internet using the World Wide Web as a tool? Because you said your website isn't even really up. Oh, it's up, but it's just kind of there.
Right. I mean, as far as marketing, I think the only thing is just straight, pretty much like Instagram, a little
yeah.
bit of Twitter, a little bit of Facebook. But I think the most person like interaction thing that I do is every once in a while on my Instagram page, I'll do like an auction.
Okay.
Like a live auction.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
It'll be like 24 hours or something where people can like, and that's probably the most real like interaction where people are like coming back and looking at things. It's like these little auctions. I have fun with those. So I'll do like a sketch or something and put it up and say, you know, it starts at like $50. You can do like $5 increment bids. It'll last for 24 hours ish. And then just like let people bid on like a sketch. Actually, no, it starts at zero. I never started any money. It starts at zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think that's just a cool way to like get my art out there and, you know, let people who like wouldn't ever probably get any of my original art
mm-hmm.
like a chance to like get it. Cause I mean, I don't really put it out there like that anyway. It's like you kind of have to come to me and commission a piece.
Right.
Or wait for like one of my shows that's like once or twice a year and maybe you can get a piece.
Have you found any success in selling canvases down here? I mean, it seems like it's so difficult.
Right. You know, I do decent, like, when I have shows and stuff. It's not too bad. You know, I used to, yeah, I definitely used to, like, not sell any canvases for a long time. I had to do a lot of murals and kind of, like, gain momentum and popularity through public art type
who's,
of.
Who's buying your art?
Who's buying my art is probably just regular, everyday people.
Really?
Yeah.
Just not old folks that are part of the
no
the
old
clubs.
Folks hate my stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no way. You gotta be. If you look at my art, old folks, unless they're like some really crazy hip dude, are really like turned off by my shit. And there are a few people that have commissioned like my like most high dollar like paying stuff for like small pieces because they are into like weird shit. They love like the Dolly and they love like, you know, like weird type of art. So they are into it. But I mean, the majority aren't.
Mm-hmm. So it's just, what would you say the average age of the person buying your art is?
Average age is probably like, you know, maybe like 20 to 30.
Really? I was wondering, like, I guess, well, I guess now, too, all these buildings are going up, these nice high-rises.
Right.
And I guess there are 20 to 30-year-olds with money now.
Yeah.
Because that was the big thing, is that who's going to buy this stuff? You know, you want to get paid. You don't want to. It's a tough thing, because you can make your stuff cheap, but then there's no value. There's no perceived value in it.
Exactly.
And then, or you can make it really expensive, where people see the perceived value, but they don't have the money to buy it. So how do you kind of negotiate that line there?
I do both.
You do both?
I don't make it too cheap.
Yeah.
And that's my commission pieces. Like, if you want to buy a sketch, I'll do, like, $300 or, like, you know, somewhere around there. But, yeah, I mean, that's really it. Unless you, like, hit up one of my auctions. That's why I do the auctions. That's, like, the only way you might get a piece cheaper.
Right.
It's because mostly, like, if I do a piece and I have shows, they're not going to be very cheap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, what I think I should get for them. And, you know, it may be like people think it's too expensive, or maybe I like sell all of them. It's like hit or miss sometimes. Like sometimes I'll have like a crowd that's like, I'll sell all my stuff. Or like sometimes I'll do a show and I won't sell anything. Like that still happens. Like right. Both happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many shows do you do a month, let's say? Do you do
a month? I don't do one a month.
You don't?
I don't,
like four a
I barely do one a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're just so busy with the murals and the clothing stuff?
Oh, right, really? It's all commissions, like commission murals or commission paintings,
mm-hmm.
or commission drawings. A lot of people will like hit me up from, you know, just like around the country, and they're like, oh, can you like draw something for me? Or like, what do you charge for a sketch? And they'll buy one, and I'll do one for them or whatever. So like, that's like the majority of my money is like that.
Is you at the point now, too, where people... they don't try to get stuff for free anymore? Because that's always a big thing. Like, oh, we can barter. We can, you know.
Yeah. No, people still do.
Yeah.
Yeah, people still love to. And sometimes I'm into it.
Yeah.
Like earlier, like a children's store earlier, like they knew I had kids. And like, would you be like willing to barter for like a mural? And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Like, I'm into like these clothes. I would definitely buy that stuff for my kids. So, yeah, you know, it looks mm-hmm. like reasonable.
Yeah. I find it so difficult to make any money doing this stuff.
Radio.
Podcasting. I'm trying to do radio. The podcast consulting, setting people up with podcasts. I end up bartering with a lot of people. But it's pretty, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty easy to do. I mean, you saw, I recorded that thing for you.
Right.
And then emailed it to
you.
Did you email that to me? Yeah, you should have it, by the way, in there. Yeah.
I need to forward that real quick.
Where do you see yourself in the next few years? What is your next big project and things that you want to do?
Wow, next few years. Next few years, ideally, I'd like to see myself on more of like a global market for my clothing and furniture, and probably be more of like a more like an upper level like creative household type of name, like I don't know, like, you know, a lot of like famous designers and shit. You know what I mean? I want to be more of like a broad, like, I can't really compare myself to anyone because there's not that many people that even were like thinking like fine art and, you know, commercial type of like clothing and furniture, and, you know, installations. And
if it came to it where a design house wanted to hire you, would you take that job, or would you just want to do, you want to do it on your own?
It would have to be very proper. It would probably even have to be more of like a collaborative effort where I don't know if I would just work for anyone like that.
We were just talking about this off air.
Right.
I don't want to work for a company.
I know.
It's, you know, I work for a small company. Now, it's actually a huge company, but it's kind of a franchise, my day job. And there's right. four of us in that office, and they're like my family at this point. I've been there 10 years. But I get these emails from other from the other places that I work, diversity emails. And it's just nonsense. That has nothing to do with me, frankly.
Yeah.
And it's just, you have to sign code of conducts. You have to go on and set goals.
Right, right.
And it's just like, this doesn't apply to me. And I don't know if it applies to anybody. But having that, you know, I'm grateful for my position, but it's also just so, it's corporate, man.
It's corporate.
Like, I hate to say it, like, oh, man, it's the man. But
it's the man.
It's boring.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with me. I don't want to be doing that stuff. I don't want to be a corporate man, per se.
No. And, you know, I did think about that a while back, that if I was going to work for a big company, I would need to have a lot of creative control, and I would probably work for, like, the main one I was thinking of was, like, Vans, like, the shoe company. Mm-hmm. If I had, like, complete creative control, like, designing shoes for them, I would love to do that. That sounds like a great job, and I would still be doing my stuff on the side. Like, that's just my stuff. I would still be doing that. But I would love to have, like, that.
I think they mostly leave creatives alone, too, for the most part. Even at, you know, my other job, they don't really, none of those people do any of that stuff. That's for people who are, like, in the sales and the marketing and advertising and whatever. Right. Like, they have to go do this stuff. But talent doesn't really have to do that. But it's still working for somebody else. You're, as much as they'll pay you, they are making more off you than what they're giving you.
Right. They have to.
They have to in order to survive. Right. So it's not, you know, you can't fault them for that, of course. But it's also like, well, why don't I just make my own money and see what I can do? But then they're giving you the opportunity to be in that position. So that's, I go back and forth on this.
The
hierarchy?
What is the word I'm looking for? Like, they have the, you know, the facilities and, like,
right,
the capability, the infrastructure to make all that happen, like the shoes and whatever. That if I was like, well, I just want to make only Sebastian Coolidge shoes, it's a lot more of a process for me to just do that out of thin air than where they already have warehouses and, you know, whatever to make all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was getting at, because I do have a lot of shoes designed that I would love to make, too. So, I mean, that was me kind of compromising. I was like, well, I'd work for Vans if I could make my shit through them.
Right.
Which is kind of whack. I should just try to make my own shit and make it happen.
But it's...
I could do that.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of... I heard that 1 in 10 ventures that you do will be successful. You have to hear a lot of no's. You have to fail a bunch.
Yep.
And being prepared to fail and putting yourself out there like that and publicly failing, that's an undertaking in its own right.
God, I know. It is. But I've done it time and time again with just the mural game. Because the mural game, it always feels like that. It's like you're in public painting this huge piece. If it turns out shitty, it's like you're doing it in front of the whole city. It's
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these people, there's not a lot of jobs.
That's all subjective, though, too. I mean, people could say, I don't like this, but right. Somebody else is going to be like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So with art and stuff like that, even with, you know, any sort of art, comedy, whatever, people would be like, that's... Somebody was saying the other day, like, that they didn't like this comedian because he's right-wing. And I was like, well, I think he's funny. I mean, and a lot of people like him. So that's all subjective. You know what I mean? Any sort of art.
But you do find yourself in, like, you know, comedy is a good profession. It's like, if you're doing comedy, at the end of the day, it's like you want to be winning over comedians. Because, like, the regular audience, like, yeah, you want to win over regular people, too.
Comedians are the most miserable people.
They're miserable, but comedians know comedy. So it's like, if you're not making comedians laugh, then you're probably doing some corny shit that only regular people can laugh at, like some Top Gallagher type of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but in the end, isn't it finding success in the public, isn't that more valuable than finding acceptance among your peers?
Because
Carrot Top, yeah, he's cheesy and corny or whatever, but that dude is
buff.
multi-millionaire now.
And
he's in
buff.
Vegas, you know, hooked up, living in the penthouse suite. He's living a fantastic life, and he does his show. Actually, it kind of sounds like it sucks, because you have all that
money. I know,
money,
that's what I'm saying.
And you don't have the time to spend your money. You know what I mean? You have shows 7 nights a week or 6 nights.
It's all subjective. Like, what do you want out of life? Do you want a bunch of money? Do you want people to respect, like, your art form that are on your level? Or, like, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, a balance between both is probably the best.
Finding success is going to be different for everybody.
Right.
I just want to be able to make enough money that I can buy a home, an actual house,
right,
drive a decent car that doesn't have egg splattered all over it from Halloween. That's what mine has on it.
Is it really?
I never cleaned
from
off.
Halloween, still
somebody,
there.
Somebody egged my freaking truck, yeah. And I didn't know what it was, and I just left it, because I don't care. I mean, it's a piece of junk, whatever. But drive a decent car and have enough money where I can say, I'm going to go out to eat tonight, I don't feel like cooking, and be okay. That would be my ideal success.
What would you eat?
Tonight? Nice steak, sounds good. Nice ribeye.
If you could eat anything
rare.
Anything. So your perfect version of tonight would be you going out in an eggless car.
Probably Uber.
And eating steaks. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about...
Probably Uber Eats.
Uber Eats.
I don't want to go anywhere.
That's your ideal night, is it? Uber Eats.
Yeah. Even like this
Keep
place...
Keep the eggless car. Keep the egg car.
This place is paying the same amount I was paying at my other spot, believe it or not. And, like, it's nice
in
here.
Wow, it's beautiful in here.
And, I don't really need much more space in this if it's just me.
Now, people right can't now. Tell, too, because they're probably listening, but this is a pretty big spot.
It's
nice.
Much smaller than what I was working with.
Is it smaller?
Yes.
The space is set up It's
all good.
The angles of this room.
It works just fine.
It's like a long rectangle.
I pretty much have a walk-in area, a nice kitchen, a nice bathroom, and a decent bedroom.
Well, let's not overlook that huge aquarium with those crazy exotic fish over there.
And I have the strippers bringing us beers and stuff, too. Yeah, can't forget about
one
that.
One more, please.
all right, man. I'll let you go. Get out of here. Thank you so much for coming back.
Is that it? We're rolling out?
Man. Yeah.
We were going for like an hour or two.
You come back anytime
come
you
back.
Want.
All right, man. Thank you very much for having me.
What's your social media and where people
social
can
media?
Find you?
You can find me at Sebastian Coolidge. On Instagram, Twitter.
No spaces or anything? Just
no,
your name?
Just at Sebastian Coolidge.
Isn't your Twitter is C Bass Coolidge, isn't it?
Is it?
No, I think so.
I think you still search my name and it comes up, though.
Okay, all right.
Facebook.
Website?
Email, SebastianCoolidge.com.
Okay.
Email, you can text me. You don't have my number. I'm not going to give my number out.
I don't blame you.
I'm not.
If you want to.
No, I won't.
I have a number. I'll tell you what. You can get a hold of Sebastian if you want. You can text or leave a voicemail at my line, 813-693-2124.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this on the air. Anyone who hears this podcast and they commission a piece from me.
Uh-oh.
And you say that you heard me on the Homemade Broadcast.
Yep.
I'm going to give Will 80%.
Wow.
80%.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
Of 10%.
Okay. That's 8%.
That's 8%.
All right.
Total.
That's fair.
Of any commission piece.
Wow.
I mean, you could listen to this right now and you're like, I want a sketch.
Mm-hmm.
I want a mural. I want an installation. I want you to paint my baby like a lizard, like that lizard guy, but baby version. Remember he had the split tongue?
Adorable. Yeah.
And I'm going to give that to Will, 8% of that.
Nice. I appreciate that, man.
No
I'll take all
dude.
The help
Thank
I can
you.
Get. That's SebastianCoolidge.com. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right, there we go, Sebastian Coolidge. Check him out, SebastianCoolidge.com. Buy a piece of art. Say you heard it on HMB Radio, the Homemade Broadcast. 8%. I don't know if he's serious or not, but I will 100% take that. So check it out. Thanks for listening, folks. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. Indie Circuit after that. If you're listening on podcasts, thanks a bunch. Make sure you rate and subscribe. Tell a friend. And I'll talk to you next week, all right? Sound good? Sounds good to me. All right, my name is Will Koontz. This is HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. See ya.